So, today is the first Sunday in Advent, and I bet you guys are thinking, well, that's not a normal Advent reading. What are they doing? Well, I thought today, I know that normally we think about hope or about John the Baptist or about the prophets, and actually we are kind of thinking about those today on the first Sunday in Advent, but I want to think a little bit more about the origins of Advent and what it might mean for us today. And I want to give you some ideas of things that you can maybe do moving forward in Advent. So Advent comes from the Latin Adventus, and it actually means a coming or a visit. And was used for, you know, if Caesar was going to rock up to your town, that would be an Adventus. You know, something really, really important. And the Greek that originally comes from as well is parousia, okay? And that's an really ancient Greek word, and it means presence or arrival, okay? And so in Advent, we are expecting the arrival or waiting for the arrival of someone. And in our case, it's Jesus. Advent, okay, actually. Ha-ha, Jesus is the reason for the season. So, Advent was first recorded in about 380 AD in Spain, and it was a preparation for baptisms for new Christians at the Feast of Epiphany in January. And that's really good news, because we're going to have some baptisms at Epiphany. So on the first, this is your first notice, on the first Sunday even of the new year, we're actually going to have full immersion baptisms, but more about that later. During that time, the Christians would spend 40 days in penance and prayer and fasting. And by the 6th century, there are records of monks in France holding a pre-Christmas fast. And the season of Advent had been at that time tied to Christmas and to the coming of Christ. Not as we think about it, not as we get used to Christmas and remembering Jesus coming as a baby, but actually it was about his second coming. They were fasting and preparing for Jesus' second coming, for that time when he's going to come to judge the world. And actually, Advent was much longer at this point in time. It actually started in mid-November. And that timing and the fast is actually kept by the Eastern churches today. And they will go right through to Epiphany in January when they celebrate Christmas. And by the end of the 6th century, Advent had shrunk to be just the last four Sundays before Christmas. I have a sneaking suspicion that that's due to the West's inability to fast for very long. We like the feasting, but not the fasting. And I personally have to admit that I struggle a bit with Advent. Okay? Because it's this whole getting ready for Christmas, without the sort of the and trying to avoid getting lost in the kind of the secularization and the commercialization of Christmas, you know, which store's got the best advert to persuade us to go and spend money in their stores, and you know, and John Lewis hasn't got it for me this year, have to say. So we lose sight of it, or we end up like Martha, don't we, running around like a headless chicken, forgetting about Jesus in all of the busyness and the preparation. And that can happen even if we don't get hung up on the present buying and the secular stuff. That happens in church too. You know, we've got all the extra concerts and services, and you know, we've got Christingles, and we've got empty chair services, and we've got in fact, we've got two Christingles, and we've got schools coming in, and we've got carol services, and we've got a carol service here and a carol service there, and something going on somewhere else, and you know, Beyond the Star, and there's all the choirs and all the preparation and all the practice. And so we get really in danger of losing sight of Jesus. Or we try and recapture that wonder and that amazement of the stable and how lovely, although we know it really probably wasn't very lovely at all. And this baby Emmanuel, and then we forget that Jesus didn't stay a baby. He grew up and he had this mission to fulfill. And then we forget as well that actually we are Easter people. We are living after Easter. We are post-resurrection people. So really focusing on Advent as a season of preparation is actually not a bad thing to do as we come to this time of year, to help us to remember what we are actually doing. And at the end of my talk, in the response time, we've got some giveaways that we're going to give you to help you to do some of this stuff, to help you to get ready for the arrival of Jesus. And you know, there are three things about the coming of Jesus, or rather there are three comings of Jesus. There's his initial arrival as a baby in a stable, the event that we remember at Christmas. We remember that God sent his son to be God with us, to be Emmanuel. And we sang that, didn't we, to start with, O come, Emmanuel. I love that song. This precious gift that God makes a way for us to be reconciled to him. And then the second of these is when we choose to come to Christ, when we choose to give our lives to Christ. It's located in the here and the now. It's our recognition that we need a saviour, that on our own we are powerless against sin, against darkness. We can't do anything in our own strength to change our own selfish ways. We need Jesus. And finally, there's the one that Advent started for, the fact that Jesus is going to return for his bride. He's coming again. And he's coming not as a baby, but as a judge. And the first two of these, the baby and our choice to surrender ourselves to Christ, we can date. The first one was just over 2,000 years ago. The second, most of us will probably remember the day, the time, maybe even the exact second, certainly the circumstances around how we first recognised our need for a saviour. Or you might not. You might only have experienced the first one, Jesus born as a baby. You might not have recognised your need for Jesus in your life yet. In which case, I'd love to talk to you after the service about that. But our reading today has been geared up to that time that Jesus comes back. Matthew 25 tells us what Jesus is expecting of his bride when he comes back to it. And in it, Jesus tells us three parables. And you might not have twigged that the first one was part of the parables, but it was. Our 10 virgins. And they represent all the people of God, believe it or not. And the oil in their lamps, or the batteries in their torches, represents the Holy Spirit in us and the light of Christ in our lives. So I have a question. How is the light of Christ in your life? How is your ongoing relationship with Jesus? Are you still reflecting Jesus in your life? Or have you run out of oil? Are you refilling yourself? Are you practicing staying close to God? Or have you let it slip? And do you let it slip even more as we get busier and busier moving towards Christmas? How's your walk going? Starting well is important, but finishing well is even more important. And then our second parable is about talents, isn't it? It was about money, talent. It was called a talent. And the master leaves these three servants with varying amounts of money and comes back to find out how they've used them. And he's not very happy with the one that stuck it under the bed, that didn't do anything with his talents. God gives us talents. Everything that we have comes from God. Our money, our time, our gifts. And we all have them. We are all given gifts. We have some that we're born with, some that are natural, and we have some supernatural gifts as well that God gives us when we choose to use them for him. So my second question is, how are you using your talents for God? Are you using your money? Are you tithing? Are you giving for the work of the church and the work of people spreading the gospel? Are you using your natural gifts, if they're administration or cooking or welcoming or whatever it is that you're good at? Are you using those to build up your family, the church? Or are you sitting on them? Are you asking the Holy Spirit for supernatural gifts, for the ability to pray for people, for the ability to speak truth into people's lives, praying for healing and all the other things that God gives us? Are you investing your talents into God's kingdom and into the family of God? Or are you sticking them under the bed and letting them gather dust? We all have different gifts, but each one of them is important to build up God's kingdom. It says, doesn't it, in 1 Corinthians, which you probably can't see up there, that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit that distributes them. Different kinds of working, but in all of them and everyone, it's God at work. And it's given for the common good, and that means the good of the church. And then finally, that passage that we don't like at all, because it's really, 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 really challenging. Jesus talks about a final judgment when he separates the people of the world into sheep and goats. And when I first became a Christian, I used to think that meant that he was separating it into those that believe in God, those that have accepted Jesus, and those that haven't. But he's not. He's actually talking about his church. And he's likening all of us to either sheep or goats. The sheep are the ones that have actually taken him seriously and done what he asked. That they actually have exhibited justice and righteousness on this earth. They fed the hungry. They visited the sick and those in prison. They've clothed the naked. And they, with the five virgins with the oil, and the people who made the most of their talents, go dancing into heaven. But the goats, the ones that didn't feed the hungry, clothe the naked, or visit the sick, are sent away. So how are you doing in your care of the poor and the needy? How are you doing on God's call for justice of the oppressed and the downtrodden? As we move into Advent, it's a really, really good time to start to reflect on these things, to look forward to Jesus' second coming, and to consider how we are doing in our walk with Christ. and whether we need to make some adjustments on our path. If it's a season to check our lamps for oil. Our talents, for how we're using them, and our attitude to those around us. God is Emmanuel. He is with us. He came at Christmas, well, probably not at Christmas, but as a human baby. He grew up. He revealed himself. He revealed his character, his grace, his compassion, his mercy. He died for us, for our sinful natures, and he rose again because death couldn't hold him, because he was perfect. And he ascended so that we could receive the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It may be that you don't know the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, that second coming to Christ. And as I've said, we'd love to pray for you. And during the response time, I will invite our prayer team to come and be in the prayer chapel, and you can go and be prayed for. It may be that you have recognized Christ, but you think, I'm not in Shirley Shore, I recognize the Holy Spirit. And again, we would love to pray for you. How are your oil levels or your batteries? Do you need a recharge? Are you spending time in personal prayer and worship? Do you have a quiet time? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to feed you? Or are you just too busy? And I'm just going to get... Sorry. Just so I'm going to tell you what we're going to give you. So we have prepared Advent candles, one per family. And we would encourage you to maybe spend, even if it's just a tiny amount of time, light the candle, burn it down on the first today, and then the second, and then the third, and just spend that time being quiet with God as a time of reflecting and renewing and restoring. How are you using your talents? Are you using them wisely? Are you using them for the benefit of the body, the church, of brothers and sisters here? There's lots of opportunities to get involved over Christmas. And the other thing that we're going to give you is a little calendar of random acts of kindness that you can take and engage with and think about maybe using your talents on here to engage. And finally, what about your relationship with others outside? The lost, the lonely, the hungry, the refugee, the outcast. How are you doing looking after them? Very quick test for this. Think about all the money you spend at Christmas on presents and things and food. Do you give any to sponsor a place for a homeless person at crisis or the winter night shelter or a refugee? Don't want to make you feel guilty, and don't rush out and do it just because I said it. But it's a good thing to think about, to balance what we spend and what we on ourselves with what we spend on other people. But it's not a guilt trip, as I've said. But it's a good way of checking where your heart is. And if you are so moved, we have a reverse Advent calendar needs list to give you as well. And the idea of this is, instead of opening a box and eating a chocolate each day, you take a box and put something in it every day and then bring it to, you can either bring it here and I will take it to St Barnabas, or you can drop it at St Barnabas Church and that will go to help people at the winter night shelter. You can do other things as well, but they are some ideas. So, we are going to play a song now. I'm going to invite the prayer team to be in the prayer chapel, and I'm going to invite my all-age team to come and to pick up the goodies. And then, as we pray and worship, I just want to invite you to think about your oil, think about your talents, think about justice and righteousness. And then to come to the front and to pick up your gifts and take them home with you to help you to get back on track this Advent season.